The hailing frequencies are open because this is GHL Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you're beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And you know what? We have an extra beautiful, sexy person today because we bullied Andy into coming back.
Yes, he's here. Andy Merriweather, the amazing co-host of the Settle the Score podcast and now fully licensed.
Full tenured professor
at the Mind University. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've got my scholarship. I'm ready to go.
So, Andy, we had a lot of fun playing some pianos and, you know, commenting
on piano.
We
didn't play piano. Andy played piano.
Playing the pianos and listening to your pianos and then also singing the title of every superhero movie over your piano
right.
playing.
That's right.
I love that you pulled in RoboCop, by the way. I just got a lot of love for that. We're going to talk more about best superhero movie scores. Ashley has a list, and we're all going to comment on it, and we're going to decide whether we think
this list is any good.
This list is any good. Now, we also know that, like, it's so interesting because when we talked about calling this episode best superhero movie scores, the main episode, it's so subjective, especially music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy, did your favorite superhero movie score make it into your choices?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if it's a cop out to say. I don't even know if you guys have the phrase cop out. But basically, I don't know if it's yeah. Okay, good. I don't know if it's a cop out to say that my favorite would change depending on the mood.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So the real hero, the Endgame score that I played, is my go to, my kind of equilibrium for. You know, if I'm too excited or too down, that's the equilibrium score for me at the moment. It brings me up or down depending on my mood. So in that sense, it did get involved in the list, but, things like Elfman's Batman, the Dark Knight score, you know, there were some, you know, we'll have to do a Geek History Lesson 2.0 or something, because there were a lot of scores out there that we didn't get to.
I know, there's only so much time and so many
exactly,
scores.
Yeah.
Ashley, was there anything that did not make the list that surprised you?
Our choices. One of them is actually on this list that I have pulled up. I'm surprised that we didn't get any Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Batman Animated Series era.
Batman Mask of the Phantasm was my
also ran.
It was my number four.
Yeah.
Mm.
I just think that those tracks are very iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think now it's a little more TV than movies, which is maybe why they got knocked off the list.
Yeah, but Mask of the Phantasm was a movie soundtrack.
Yes. I just think it set the stage for like so much. So that was one that I was surprised. Yeah, Danny Elfman's theme, which just rips off the Dinebelugan opera. I'm surprised wasn't on there. But the other weird thing about superhero movies is a lot of movies that you love have like okay scores.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm gonna put this out there. I'm gonna throw some shade out there. I think a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't have great scores.
I would co-sign that.
I was so happy they brought back Alan Silvestri for Infinity War and Endgame because I knew with Alan Silvestri it was going to be a great score.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so interesting because like yeah, I tend and that's why I love G. Kino in the MCU as well because I find a lot of the MCU scores to just be what Andy was saying earlier. They're very much carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. they don't
like,
really
like Star Trek circa the 90s shows.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like they're just total background music. So I'm very interested to go through this list and see what we think. Ashley, let's start it. Where did we get this list?
List is from Den of Geek. And this is their 25 best superhero scores of all time. So number 21, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Too low, in my opinion.
Yeah. Andy, what do you think about the machinations of Shirley Walker?
This is a blind spot for me, and I saw it on the alt list, and I wanted to make sure I got the three top picks right.
Oh, you got
okay.
homework then.
So it is homework, and I hope I don't lose my my teaching degree. But I will. I immediately wanted to go and check this out. I obviously have I'm recording this and then settle the score tomorrow, so I have a total of 24 scores in my head right now. So I couldn't add any more to it, but this is 100% once that's over with. Even on my wedding day, I might put it on.
I was going to say, even with the impending nuptials, I can't imagine that you don't have a ton of free time right now.
No, it's going to be great. And I definitely wanted to check out anything you guys recommend. I want to go and check out. So this is, I won't be able to talk on it, but I'm happy to learn.
Mask
I'll
of
go
Event.
And sit in the class for a second.
I would put number one. Yeah, I would put on the headphones and the little audio booth. Mask of the Phantasm is like a number one I would put on there. Shirley Walker created a truly iconic Batman theme. And I think, and to be honest with you, I'm going to throw this out there, I think it's better than Danny Elfman's. I think it's so much stronger than Danny
People
Elfman's.
Are screaming at their phones right
I
now.
I don't care. I think Shirley Walker brings the emotionality that when I first heard it in the 90s, I was like, that's Batman.
All right, let's do number 24 because I don't think any of us can speak on it. So we'll just gloss right past it. Ghost Rider, 2007.
Don't remember a single thing.
Haven't
Can't
seen
even
it.
Think of it.
Nope. Next, number 23, The Phantasm, 1996. Haven't seen it.
The Phantasm?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Phantom is what. Sorry, The Phantom.
Okay. Oh, I was like, that's a horror movie. I was like, did
I mean, maybe The Phantom is. There's like a skull on this little picture.
The Phantom is that Billy Zane. It's that pulp hero in purple. And
still never seen it.
It's okay. It's an all right movie. It's not a great movie.
Next is The Dark Knight, Hans Zimmer, James Newton Howard, 08.
Wow. Dark Knight is this low.
22, yeah.
But
you're much more of a Batman Begins kind of dude.
I am, because I think the Batman Begins score is stronger than the Dark Knight score, because the Batman Begins score was a collaboration between James Newton Howard and Hans Zimmer.
Well, that's what Dark Knight is credited as well.
From everything that I understand and I have read, James Newton Howard had little to nothing to do with The Dark Knight.
Well, that's the official.
I
understand.
I think because of guilds, he had to be credited. But
or if he did a certain amount of work on it, yeah.
From what I understand and everything I've read, I've always understood that James Newton Howard walked off that soundtrack.
Well, he's doing fine.
He's doing fine. He did The Postman. but in Batman Begins, James Newton Howard took all the Bruce stuff and Hans Zimmer took all the Batman stuff. And that's why all the Batman stuff is heavy with drums and bass. And the Bruce stuff is very melodic and very soft and very strings, which is kind of James Newton Howard's, you know, MO. Mm-hmm. And I find the Dark Knight score is literally nothing but drums because it's all Hans Zimmer. And when you watch that movie, the Bruce theme that is established in Batman Begins only appears once. And it appears in a scene with Harvey Dent. Bruce is not
Where's
even in the scene.
Harvey Dent?
I like it. And I will give Hans Zimmer all the credit in the world for the idea of just literally just like hitting one string on a violin and making everybody think that's a character theme.
Oh my God, that was so shady.
I'm sorry. The Joker theme is literally just a violinist just going.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just,
that's all it is.
That's really shady. No,
look, it works in that movie because you feel unsettled.
Right, but it's not like a tremendous piece of composition. Or
no, he didn't spend 17 days on like, oh, what should I do? I mean, that's all that theme is. Andy, please tell me I'm dumb or whatever if you disagree.
No, I don't disagree at all. I think this is the complete opposite of John Williams' Jaws. So Jaws always gets spoken about like, oh, it's that two note score. The Jaws score is incredibly complex. First of all, the theme that people always refer to is actually three notes. It's and then it has this beautiful adventure score. That is a really complex score that's kind of, it's subdued in people's, in pop culture, it's this two note score. The Dark Knight, which doesn't get labeled the two note score, is a two note score. The main theme in that movie is bum bum. That's all it is. And it really is a two note score. There's only two kind of discernible notes that I could pluck out and play on the piano. Definitely one that I have not gone to. It's never come up on Set of the Score as a movie that we could play the music to. And I think that is the barometer.
Yes.
not to favor ourselves. But, yeah.
I agree. I think when people like bring up The Dark Knight as a score, I think your love of the movie is overshadowing what I cannot put The Dark Knight on and just listen to it. I just can't. Because it's just...
Again, my favorite like Hans Zimmer piece, like I said on the main episode, is the Catwoman theme from Rises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Batman Begins, I can't. I can put, I can play Batman Begins and never stop it.
Right.
Which to me, there's just something about James Newton Howard, I think, was just like, no, no, Hans, a little bit less drums. Little pull back. No. Less timpani. Thank you. All right, cool.
Do love it.
Hans off.
Ashley, what's next on this
number
list?
Number 21, The Incredible Hulk, 2008.
The Edward Norton one?
Yes.
That will be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a fine score. Who did it, did it say?
Craig Armstrong.
Of course. Love Actually. Yeah, this Hulk theme is in the original Avengers movie, the 2012 movie. It shows up when Hulk shows up, and it's a two note one, but it deserves to be two notes. And it's Ashley's favorite two notes. It's a dissonant tritone.
This is the only MCU movie I've never seen.
Oh, wow. It's not bad. It's not bad actually. I mean, it's about, I kind of think it does everything that a Hulk does. And I will say that I do think the music is pretty good in it. I do think the score is pretty good.
Number 20, Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, Danny Elfman.
This is actually one of Danny Elfman's stronger scores.
I like this one. He replaces Marco Beltrami, who was the original Hellboy composer.
I'm going to say this. I think Marco Beltrami's Hellboy theme is better than Danny Elfman's. With that being said, I do think that the score for The Golden Army is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
You know, the little elf prince was supposed to be played by Charlie Hunnam, which always makes me laugh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Right. But he had a conflict.
Yeah. I can't pull anything out from that. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
I don't know this score very well, but does it sound like a Danny Elfman score? Because he most of the time sounds like a Danny Elfman score and then he surprises.
Yes.
But does it sound like an Elfman?
It sounds like an Elfman. Yeah, 100%.
Right, mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything, yeah. In my opinion, everything he does that's not The Simpsons sounds fairly of a piece.
You know, it's funny. My favorite Danny Elfman stuff is the stuff where he doesn't sound like Danny Elfman. Like where he kind of like goes outside of his own box, which is why I love the Spider-Man score that he did so much, because that to me is like...
Yeah, but you also love Nightmare Before Christmas, which is like the most Danny Elfman.
That's fair.
In a lot of ways.
Maybe the real answer is I like Danny Elfman with lyrics on top.
There you go. Number 19, I have not seen, but another Alan Silvestri, Judge Dredd, 1995.
I can't pull this. Wow. All I remember is Sylvester Stallone just being like, I'm the law, you know, like a lot. And then Rob Schneider ordering tacos. That actually happens in that movie.
I don't care.
All right.
Number 18 is X-Men OG 2000 by Michael Kamen.
This is a great score. This is a very underrated score. It has a lot of techno elements in it. You can tell it's synthesized quite a bit. But I do think the theme that he plays when Logan saves Rogue's life at the very end is really good. Andy, do you remember the score at all?
I do not know. I'll have to check it out.
Should I play pieces of the score? Because I have this. Is that what helps?
That's going to take so much time.
No, it won't. Keep going to the next.
Whilst you're finding that, Jason, the Danny Elfman score that I was surprised at, and I don't think if you listen to the, if you watch the movie, not watching the opening credits, and you'd be surprised it's Danny Elfman, is Good Will Hunting. Sounds nothing like Danny Elfman.
Are you serious? I didn't know he scored that movie.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's, I guess, the most un-Elfman-like. Such a weird word, un-Elfman-like.
The most un-Elfman-like.
Well, I've never seen that movie, so perhaps we need to put it on our shortlist.
You haven't seen Good Will Hunting, Ashley?
Good Will Hunting or the Dead Poets Society, which I feel like are of a piece, but I recently learned that Dead Poets Society has new favorite actor of mine, Mr. Josh Charles, in it, so perhaps list.
He's the lead. Yeah, both Dead Poets and Good Will Hunting are kind of in my top 20 movies of all time.
We, just to date this by anyone who's following my Instagram feed, we just watched Saving Private Ryan a couple days ago. Mm. And when we lined it up, I said to Jason, I said, am I going to cry in this? And he's like, oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you keep going on the list? I'm trying to get my phone to pair
17,
with the soundboard.
That's not going also anywhere. Have not seen The Crow.
I don't.
By Graham Revell.
I can't pull the score.
No, I wouldn't know. I can imagine it's like an ominous, dark score. It wouldn't suit anything else. So,
well, the next one I know we've all seen, and I think it's a pretty good score, actually. This, I considered putting this on my list, is the Thor movie from 2011 by Patrick Doyle.
Oh, that has a lot of really good...
a lot of nice themes in there, character themes.
There's a theme called Brothers in there that's really good. And the Rainbow Bridge theme, that first movie, is really good. I actually think it is the best score of all the Thor movies. I actually really loved in Ragnarok where they brought some of Patrick Doyle is credited. They brought back some of his themes to play when Thor is crowned king.
When he was like, Asgard's not a place, it's a people. And you're like, it's fully a place. It was over Oklahoma once. It's a place. Right.
I completely empathize with that sentiment. Most people think England isn't a country, but a weather. So
I found Michael Kamen's X-Men score. Here it is.
Okay.
If it'll play. All right, it's not going to play? All right, hold on.
Hilariously, we recommended that Andy get a soundboard earlier.
There it is. This is Michael Kamen's X-Men. This is him saving Rogue.
I know. I saw this movie when I was 10 years old. You better believe I know.
I just think it's pretty good.
Well, fittingly, the next installment on this list is X-Men The Last Stand, which is X3 2006.
It has a pretty good opening John theme. Powell. I don't know if I would put it above some of the other movies we've already talked about.
I just want to say whoever wrote this is insane because their descriptions are wild. So it says, less thoughtful than Michael Kamen's soul X-Men score, but more memorable and richly realized than John Ottman's effort. It's a shame that Powell's old school soundtrack was utilized for one of the franchise's weaker entries.
Andy, any thoughts on X-Men The Last Stand?
Genuinely can't pull it. And now you've played the score into my ear from that one, and I'm learning it on the piano in my head. So.
All right, here is the Last Stand theme. I'll bring a piece of this.
Okay,
in.
Great.
It's this.
Oh, it's got that Superman rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot of stuff.
Number 14 on the list is the much discussed previously Spider-Man, Danny Elfman, 2002.
So good.
I had this CD.
Of the score?
Yes, I did.
Spider-Man 2 is slightly better because there's a lot of good stuff because his Doc Ock theme is really good. But I think Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 are solid entries in there. What number do they have this?
14.
I would put this a little higher, actually, to be honest with you, the first Spider-Man. Now, if Spider-Man 2 is higher in the list, I will retract the statement.
Interesting. Yeah, I think this score from Elfman, I think it's one of those where you have actors that are born to play a certain role. Elfman was born to compose for Spider-Man. All his scores up to Spider-Man sound like they have webs on them. They really do like have this kind of scattered like webbing effect. And I think every Spider-Man score after that leans a little bit into Elfman's score. I even think his Batman score would suit a Spider-Man movie.
Yes, I agree with you. Like this is almost when he was announced to score this movie, this was perfection. You were just like, yes, there's nobody else out there that could score this movie. Now, Andy, I'm going to put you on the spot here. We are recording this before we don't know when the release of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to be, but Sam Raimi is a longtime collaborator with Danny Elfman. Who do you think is going to score Doctor Strange 2? Do you think they're going to let Giacchino do it again, or do you think Sam Raimi is going to say, bring in Elfman?
That's such a good question.
I personally want Giacchino to continue because I love his score for Doctor Strange 1.
Yeah, and I think he has paid such homage to Elfman as well in the Far From Home score. I would like to see Giacchino do it. But I also want him to have enough time to put together a killer Batman score, so...
Yeah,
I'm sure he would have like locked that in by now. But yeah,
did they confirm is Giacchino doing the score for the Batman?
He is.
Wow.
I actually have an anecdote. I was at an event at the Royal Albert Hall in the UK, and it was Giacchino and David Arnold, and it was called Settling the Score.
Ooh.
And it was those two kind of going head to head on their compositions, and before each section was played, they had like funny things like stormtroopers will come out and someone would introduce Rogue One or something, and they had I've completely lost it. Who's directing the Batman? I know who it is. It's
Matt Reeves.
Yeah, Matt Reeves comes onto stage, and him and Giacchino worked together on the Raw composition for Cloverfield. Yeah, so Matt Reeves is coming on to introduce Cloverfield, and then he gets down on one knee right in front of Giacchino and proposes to him by saying, will you compose the Batman? And he asked Chikino right in front of us. Like genuinely right in front. I mean, they might have discussed it.
Fuck no.
Yeah. But yeah. He said it would be an honor. And I haven't, I maybe don't, it might be the one thing I think about on a daily basis is what that Chikino score is going to sound like. I cannot wait.
Yeah, that is an I did not know that. That is an, I don't know, man. Because I will say this, like Giacchino like has very rarely disappointed me. And so we're like out the gate, I'm kind of like, is he going to like make the best Batman score of all time? Like he might actually do it.
Yeah. I think there's room for that as well, honestly. I think Elfman's score for Batman has aged and maybe his Spider-Man one has superseded it in the ear. We've already shown our distaste for but yeah, I think there's room for a Batman score that is iconic, as iconic as what people consider to be the Superman score. And I have faith in him. MG.
Ashley, what else we got on this list?
Supergirl by Jerry Goldsmith, 1984.
I mean, Jerry Goldsmith's a legend, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think this is too high.
Way too high.
What does this go? I've seen this movie so many times as a kid, but it must be one of those or Mighty Ducks is in the ear.
And I could not, couldn't pull it. All right,
hold on. We're going to pull it up.
Yeah, go on. I'm really interested to hear how this sounds.
These ones closer to the top are wild. Number 12 is Iron Man 3.
Here's the,
by Brian Tyler.
Here's the main theme to Supergirl. I guess. So that means a lovely bit of music, but
yeah, it doesn't sound like there's anything going on there.
Number 11 is Batman Returns.
Okay. Wow. All right, I guess.
Number 10, Silvestri Returns with Captain America, the First Avenger.
That's the Superman theme.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. I think that's a really good one. That's
I think
a really
simply
good one.
For the USO show.
Yep.
Captain America theme.
Well, the Captain America march that they create in that movie is pretty good.
Number 9 is Ant-Man.
Completely. Christoph Beck. I completely disagree with that.
My mortal enemy of a movie. Number 8 is The Incredibles.
Yay.
So Ashley was correct.
Should be higher.
Number 7 is The Amazing Spider-Man by James Horner.
Oh, boy.
Right,
look,
right.
Everyone, we're just going to settle this right now. James Horner's best score is a tie between The Rocketeer and...
I actually thought The Rocketeer might have been on your list.
Legends of the Fall. So
Rocketeer was my fourth pick.
Ah, well done. It's got a great, great score.
Yeah.
Number 6, Unbreakable, James Newton Howard.
Unbreakable was almost on my list several times.
Number 5, Hellboy, Marco Beltrami, the original. Hellboy is good, but it's like, I don't know if it's number 5 good.
I think Hellboy definitely deserves, the first one definitely deserves to be in the top 20, but I agree with you. I don't know if it's number 5.
Speaking of number 4, The Rocketeer.
Hey, there you go.
Nice.
That's fair.
Number 3, The Shadow, Jerry Goldsmith, 1994.
Whoa. I remember that.
The Batman, not Batman movie.
All right, hold on. I'm going to bring that up.
Dig that one out. Yeah.
I'm going to say that I remember this being good, but I don't know if it's number 3.
No, it's his number 3.
All right. Here is the main.
Scored all time. Interesting.
Here's the main theme, supposedly YouTube, of The Shadow. Can you speed it up a little bit? I remember this.
I don't.
Yeah, I could hum this.
Oh, that's
this
good.
Is a Batman
good.
Score.
Well, everything
about my move there. Yeah.
Everything of The Shadow in the '90s, like, because I'll say this: in the '90s, I kind of always thought that Alec Baldwin should have played Batman.
I will say I'm pleased he didn't.
Yeah, well, sure, because he's turned out to be a terrible person. But at the time, '90s Alec Baldwin, I thought would have been a great Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, that would have been a good chin. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 2, Superman, John Williams.
That's fair.
Okay.
Definitely number in the top 5.
Interesting.
Okay, what do we think our number 1 is?
I don't know, because this list is crazy pants. Andy, do you have any guesses?
So we had Batman Returns, but not Batman.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange. So is there room for it to be Batman? That seems like a weird move.
You are correct. It's Danny Elfman's Batman, 1989. Jason is searching for a sound cue.
I do not buy the validity of this list.
That's very strange.
I like that theme.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are good tracks on the score, but I think Andy made a very intelligent observation of more than some of the other movies that we talked about, it feels like it's of its time.
I agree. It hasn't aged well, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a great theme, but yeah, it has not aged well. It doesn't sound very Batman-y either. That's my problem.
It's not Batman score.
Yeah.
All right, so you can say one of your picks. I would love to really quickly round robin, and Andy, we will start with you. Not asking about your personal favorite, but objectively, if you were to make a pick, somebody was like, okay, objectively, what do you think is the greatest superhero score of all time? What would you say, Andy? Or what would you make a case for? You'd be like, well, I think it might be this one. And again, there are no wrong answers here.
It's very interesting. Okay. So I think there is really only one answer that maybe all three of us should have, and that would be John Williams Superman.
Yeah.
I think it should be number one. I think it's the most iconic, the most influential. I know it's borrowed from kind of the Aaron Copland fanfare. You know, it is the movie version of that sound. But like anything, Captain America, the main Avengers theme, they all have Superman to thank, or John Williams. But interestingly, I think Batman Begins is in that realm. And I think Batman Begins will age better than The Dark Knight. And I think not only because of the score, as you say, Jason, I think when you look at the storytelling of movies in general, what's considered to be like, you know, the stereotypical best movie of all time is Citizen Kane. You could probably have one TV playing Citizen Kane and one TV playing Batman Begins, and they're essentially the same movie. I don't know if anybody's ever considered that, but they are very, very similar movies in storytelling. And I think Begins is going to stand about the same amount of test of time as Citizen Kane is going to be looked upon favorably. And I think the score plays a big part in that.
I would agree with that. I think that score will be a dark horse, kind of like Mask the Phantasm. Like, it'll be one that will always be in the conversation. I was going to say that too. I it's hard not to just automatically be like, yeah, Superman the movie, just for how much it pushed the medium.
Well, it's hard on multiple fronts because Superman the movie, in many ways, was the first truly successful superhero movie.
Yeah, fair.
On that stage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like television, we'd had it before. We'd had pulp heroes, but not superheroes in that Western tradition, you know?
Oh. Well, okay. I think that's a good place to leave it. Andy, real quick, remind our lovely patrons one more time where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. It's at STS_AndyM. I do, on Instagram, you can request me to, you know, play any score you want, and I'll put it up on the Instagram feed. And, you know, around Oscar season, I'll do like a mashup of the 5 nominated scores and things like that. So that's where you can find all that stuff. On Twitter is where you can just have a conversation with me about things. Just be lovely, because we kind of all need it. And I guess that would be it. At STS_AndyM, and settle the score episodes at youtube.com/MattNost.
Yes, please, everybody, go listen to Settle the Score. It's a great show. You get more Andy than you ever want, because you know your meter can never be full on Andy and his awesome playing. So go check that out. I prefer watching the video version, so that's where I like to go. Thank you so much, Andy, for joining us on this extra long extra episode. It was a blast, man.
Oh, thank you very much. You guys are you know, two of my favorite people. I've told you before.
Thank you, man.
Even before we'd met. You know, when you were first on Settle the Score, I told you how much I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of what you do here, and I hope that comes across, because it's genuine. It was such a pleasure to be asked, and I genuinely think that had the pandemic not been a thing, I would have had my LA holiday in 2020, and I might have gone for a slice with Catherine and Matt, and we wouldn't have ever discussed doing something because of you know, boredom or lockdown or anything like that. And it's been a blessing in disguise, and I think that kind of silver lining is always worth striving for and looking for, and meeting you guys is you know, definitive extra thickness of that silver lining. So it's been a pleasure.
We'll make it happen, man. We look forward to it. And we're also big fans of yours.
Yeah, let's
as well.
Not pretend we haven't spent almost a year being like, how are we going to get Andy?
Yeah, we have like, we're literally, we're like, how can we get Andy on the show? What's the take on this? Where's the thing? So I'm glad we were able to finally work it out. Listeners out there, patrons, thank you so much for your support. It's because of your support at patreon.com/Jawin that we can do extra time with Andy. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And goodbye, super friends.